Perhaps the most recognizable Christian symbol that we have is, of course, the crucifix. In just about any Catholic church you walk into around the world, you'll see a nice big crucifix front and center. In nearly every Catholic home around the world, you'll see a crucifix somewhere in the house. We even wear the crucifix sometimes on a necklace or a bracelet or something like that. The crucifix reminds us of that central Christian mystery, the fact that God became man and died for us and rose from the dead to redeem us from sin and death. And one thing we notice about the crucifix, just about always, it will have that sign at the top that has those four letters, I-N-R-I. Perhaps you've heard this before, but I'm just going to tell you what that means real quick. So those are the four letters that stand for a Latin phrase that mean Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. So the I's on the ends replace the J's. There are no J's in Latin. So the first one is Jesus. The last one is King of the Jews. Sorry, of the Jews. The N means of Nazareth. And the R is that Latin word rex, which means king. So the whole phrase, Jesus of Nazareth, Nazareth, King of the Jews. And that was put up there as a reminder of why he was being crucified. It was to tell people what his crime was, but also in a way it was to make fun of him. Remember, they put that crown of thorns on his head to make fun of him also, to say, oh, well, if you're really a king, why don't you come and save yourself? We're going to make fun of you by putting this crown of thorns on your head. They put a reed in his hand as if it were a scepter or something like that. They made fun of him by calling him a king. And yet, the Catechism tells us that it is when Jesus is on the cross, precisely in that moment, that he is most king. Remember, today we're celebrating that Jesus is the King of the universe, celebrating Christ the King Sunday. And yet, in this moment, when he seems the weakest, when he seems made fun of, after he's suffered, as he's about to die, that is when he's most king. How are we meant to understand that? Well, we have to realize what it is a king does for his people. What does a good king do? He does three things. He protects them, he provides for them, and he governs them. And what does Jesus do on the cross but those three things? He protects us by defeating our enemy, by defeating the evil one, by defeating sin and death. Through that sacrifice on the cross, he protects us because we no longer have to worry about those things. Through his sacrifice, he saves us from those things. He provides for us because it is through his merits on the cross, that sacrifice, that we can now receive his grace. We can receive that life that he wants to give us. And we're strengthened to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel. And he governs us, thirdly, by introducing the new covenant, by introducing that law of love into the world by which we are meant to live. So Jesus, in his cross, in his sacrifice, does those three things. He protects us, he provides for us, and he governs us. And that, brothers and sisters, is why Jesus on the cross is most the king. That's why we're not ashamed of this symbol. No, that's why we put it everywhere. In our churches, in our homes, we wear it. That's why we take pride in this symbol. Because Jesus is our king when he sacrifices himself. And so the point for us today is one, to recognize that Jesus is King of the universe, to proclaim that to the ends of the world, yes, but we're also meant to participate in that kingship. As baptized Christians, we are meant to participate in Christ's kingship. When we're baptized, we are then meant to live in the person of Christ, in persona Christi. We're meant to take part in his roles as priest, prophet, and king. We are really meant to rule the world with God. We are meant to participate in this kingship of Jesus Christ. But remember, how is it that a good king rules? He protects, he provides, and he governs. That's what we're supposed to do, brothers and sisters. And how beautiful it is that we have this gospel reading today, where Jesus is talking about going out, feeding the hungry, giving drink to those who are thirsty, visiting the sick and imprisoned. By doing these things, by taking care of our brothers and sisters, by loving them, we are doing all of these things. We're protecting them from the things that might harm them. We're providing for their needs. And we're governing the world by instituting that law of love that we're meant to live by. It is precisely in doing these things, brothers and sisters, that Jesus mentions in the gospel today, that we participate in his kingship. By taking up our cross and serving our brothers and sisters, we participate in his kingship. And again, today is the last Sunday in ordinary time. Next Sunday, we'll start the first Sunday of Advent. Advent, of course, is a penitential season. It's a time of preparation. We're preparing for the King to be born into the world. And so I want to encourage you in this next week, think about ways, discern ways in your family where you can actually live these things out. It's one thing to hear these things and say, oh yeah, you're right, Jesus, I should really do those things more. But it's another thing to come up with concrete ways to live this out. Maybe you can donate some extra money to a charity that helps people in need. Maybe you can donate some of your time and go help at a soup kitchen or something like that. Maybe you can spend some of your time and visit prisoners or visit people who are in nursing homes or in hospitals. Maybe you can go through your things at home. Find some things you can give away. Find some clothes. Kids, find some toys maybe that you want to give away to those people who are less fortunate. Whatever it looks like for your family, come up with those ways that you can serve our less fortunate brothers and sisters so that you can participate in the kingship of Jesus Christ. And realize, brothers and sisters, that the best part about this is that we don't have to do it on our own. We're not meant to do it on our own. We're not meant to go be kings and queens by ourselves. No, we participate in the one kingship of Jesus on the cross. That very sacrifice is made present to us every time we go to Mass. Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is made present to us. We participate in that very sacrifice by which he is most king. So today, as we celebrate this Mass, as we receive the Eucharist, pray for that grace that you need to participate in his kingship. Ask him the ways that he wants you to sacrifice yourself for your brothers and sisters. And most of all, open your heart to him so that he can be the king of your life and fill you with all of those graces and blessings that he has for you, so he can protect you, provide for you, and govern your life. And so then you can go out and do those things for other people, so that you can protect them, provide for them, and govern them, so that you can spread the gospel to the ends of the earth and institute that law of love, and so that you can reign with him in this life now, but more importantly, for all eternity in the heavenly kingdom.